You have a Bible with me? If you have a Bible with you and want to turn with me to the first letter of Samuel, chapter 3. We're reading from the first verse. It says this: Meanwhile, the boy Samuel served the Lord by assisting Eli. Now, in those days, messages from the Lord were very rare and visions were quite uncommon. One night, Eli, who was almost blind by now, had gone to bed. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle near the ark of God. Suddenly, the Lord called out, Samuel. Yes, Samuel replied. What is it? He got up and he ran to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, replied Eli. Go back to bed. So he did. Then the Lord called out again, Samuel. And again Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? I didn't call you, my son, Eli said. Go back to bed. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, Go and lie down, and if someone calls you again, say, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went back to bed. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel. Samuel, and Samuel replied, Speak, your servant is listening. Then the Lord said to Samuel, I am about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I am going to carry out all my threats against Eli and his family from the beginning to the end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God and he hasn't disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and the sins of and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifice or offering. Samuel stayed in bed until morning, then got up and opened the door of the tabernacle as usual. He was afraid to tell Eli what the Lord had said to him. But Eli called out to him, Samuel, my son. Here I am, Samuel replied. What did the Lord say to you? Tell me everything, and may God strike you and even kill you if you hide anything from me. So Samuel told Eli everything. He didn't hold anything back. It is the Lord's will, Eli replied. Let him do what he thinks is best. As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him, and everything that Samuel said proved to be reliable. And all Israel, from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear and gave messages to Samuel there at the tabernacle. And Samuel's words went out to all the people of Israel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to come and hear your word spoken. Father, we believe that you're going to speak to us tonight, so that these wouldn't be my words, but they'd be yours, and they'd be filled with your power, your grace, and your mercy, and your love. Father God, as we meet here, we thank you that we can do so in safety, but we know tonight there are those meeting around the world who will be in fear as they meet in your name. Father God, we pray your protection over them as they meet in obedience to you. Father, as we meet, we pray that you would open our ears that we might hear you, that you would open our hearts, Lord God, that we might accept you and receive you and all that you've asked of us to do. But Lord, that we would open our lives to you once again tonight and that we would say, Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Speak to us tonight, we pray, in your name and for your glory. Amen. So a preacher went to a church and he preached a fine sermon. And he went in the morning and he did this amazing sermon. It was full of illustrations and it was wonderful. And the congregation then came back in the evening. It was just like this morning. No, the congregation came back in the evening and they heard this preacher preach this sermon again. And they realized it was exactly the same as the sermon that the preacher had preached in the morning. The deacons thought, well, maybe he was a bit nervous. Maybe he'd sort of got his like favourite sermon and he brought it with him and he'd now forgotten that that was what he had preached in the morning. But they thought, never mind, he was nervous, we'll let it go. People shook their heads that night. The following Sunday, they invited the preacher back and he preached the same sermon again. And although they preached the same sermon now for three occasions, this church, they decided that they would still call this man to be their new pastor because they thought that this was a man of God who was bringing God's word to them. And they thought, well, he's still preaching the same thing. And he went back again the second evening, and lo and behold, he preached the same sermon again. Well, the deacons had enough of this, and they decided that they would call a special church meeting, as they do, and they were going to call everybody together, and they were going to talk about this person preaching the same sermon again. And they said, if this man preaches this same sermon again, we're going to have to confront him. Wednesday night rolled on, and lo and behold, he preached the same sermon again. The deacons met with the pastor after the Wednesday evening service and said, preacher, this is a fine sermon you've been preaching. But when are you going to preach something new? And the preacher replied, when you listen, we'll move on to something else. The story today begins with information. And throughout that chapter that I read this evening, it's all information. But it starts with this at the very beginning. The information we're told at the very beginning is the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. The first chapters of First Letter of Samuel not only tells us about Samuel, the first book of Samuel, sorry, they not only tell us about Samuel, but they also tell us about the spiritual conditions among God's people at that time. They've hit an all-time low in their idolatry, in their immorality. And the Israelites were barely recognized at this time as God's people. Even some of the priests, the people who should have known better, the people that others looked up to, even some of the priests, especially two of the sons of the high priest Eli, were openly ignoring God's commands, were openly living immoral lives. After being told that Samuel, the future prophet, was serving at God's house, we're given another bit of important information, background information, to help us understand. And that information is this. In those days, the words of the Lord were rare, and there were not many visions. And you know why that is? Because God's people were not listening. They weren't listening when he was speaking, and so God stopped talking. That was about to change. Because God is going to use this boy Samuel. He was going to open this boy's ears to hear. Listen to the Lord would be Samuel's message. You know, if Samuel could write a sermon and have 3 points in it and they all start with the same letter, he could. But his message was this: listen to the Lord. And he himself would be a living example of how that is exactly done, because Samuel listened to the Lord with ears of a servant. But he went a little bit further, because he also had the actions of a servant. You know, at this time, that time, people certainly didn't have the ears of a servant, because their ears were deaf to God's word. They were closed to God's commands. These were people who were refusing to listen to him. So finally, we're told, God stopped speaking. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and there was not many visions. But you know, there was at least one person in Israel who would listen to the Lord. And it was this boy, Samuel. And in Samuel, we see someone, as I said, who has ears of a servant. We're told in this story that Samuel hears his name called, not once, not twice, but three times. And again, we're given an important bit of information. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. You know, I think that Samuel probably did know who the Lord was. He had heard people talking about him. He knew the scriptures. He had seen things happening in other people's lives. But he did not know the Lord himself. Yes, he was serving at the temple, but he didn't know him on a personal level. He didn't know him working in his life. The Lord, we're told, had not yet spoken to him, nor had he previously appeared to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Three times we're told that Samuel goes to Eli, thinking that Eli was the one who had called him. Samuel could have easily have ignored the voice. He could have gone back to bed. He could have said, "Listen, mate, I've already been in here twice. You've called me a third time, and when I get here, you tell me you don't want me." He could have easily put a pillow over his head. He could have easily just gone back to bed. He could have easily just tuned Eli or whoever it was out. But he went running. Every time he heard his name being called, Eli went running. Those who would listen to the Lord must listen like Samuel, with the ears of a servant. I wonder what kind of ears do you have when it comes to listening to the Lord? I wonder whether when we hear his voice, do we jump up and say, "Here I am"? I wonder whether we jump up and shout, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Or have you begun to say, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking"? The action of listening to someone is often an expression of your love for them. It's an expression of your respect for them. Just as love can't be forced or demanded from someone, so is listening a response freely given. Listening can't be forced. Listening can't be demanded. I could tie you to your chair this evening and you still don't need to listen to me. But I wonder, is that where we are with God? We're to have ears like that of Samuel, ears of a servant. You know, God was the one, as we heard quite a lot about this morning, about his love. He is the one who first has extended his love to us. He breaks the bonds of sin that binds us. And it is through the blood of Jesus that he redeems us. He binds us back from our slavery to sin. He is the one that did that. And so because of that, we now have every reason to be attentive to what he is saying to us. When he has given us his all, surely to goodness all we need to give him is listening ears of servants. Because that would be a response of our love towards him. To be able to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." You know, having ears of a servant also indicates that we're willing to listen completely, closely, and carefully to the Lord. You know, you see in these period dramas when they have servants, and it's not until the master has said, "Thank you very much, off you go," that the servant goes, is it? But you know, sometimes we find ourselves saying, "God, do this, this, and this, and this, and this," and we never listen to his response because we're too busy saying, "Listen, Lord, your servant is speaking." Sometimes we assume what God is going to say. Sometimes we assume what God wants us to do without listening to what it is that he wants from us. You know, you could have read the Bible many times round, you could have studied it often, but without the ears of a servant, you're not going to know what he is saying. His words reach our ears, but sometimes we don't really listen. How many times have we said it to our spouses or our children, "Did you hear me?" And you can quite clearly see on their face that they heard words coming out of your mouth, but they have no idea what you've said. Sometimes we hear God speaking, but we don't really listen. And then we get into trouble, and then we panic, and then we run around crying like lost children. Well, thankfully, God hasn't stopped speaking to us. And I don't believe for one second that he is going to stop speaking to us. You know, beginning now, beginning today, here, we can have another chance to listen to God with ears of a servant. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." You know, those words tell us so much about Samuel and about his attitude. This is a young boy who had ears of a servant. And my prayer would be tonight that may God give us ears of servants so that we too would gladly listen to him and hear what he says, not just go, "Oh, I think that might have been God," and then carry on doing what we were doing. But you know, God wasn't just calling Samuel just to make sure he was listening. Because God had work for Samuel to do. Because the bit of information we're given next is this: then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there calling, as at all the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." With ears of a servant listening to the Lord, Samuel was ready to respond with the actions of a servant. It wasn't just a case of, "I'm speaking to you." It was a case of, "I'm speaking to you and I want you to do, and I'm waiting for you to do." And you know, Samuel, this boy, his whole life was shaped by service. So when the Lord called Samuel, he went into action. You can imagine he jumped up and he was ready to go. The first 24 chapters of 1 Samuel record the actions of Samuel as a servant of the Lord. This is somebody who has led armies of Israel. This is somebody who became a judge for his people. When he was an older man, he anointed Saul when he first was king. Later, he anointed David as king. All of his years, he faithfully listened and then acted with actions of a servant. So what's the secret behind listening to the Lord with actions of a servant? Well, I'll tell you a secret. There is no secret. There is no secret behind listening to the Lord. To the listen to the Lord with the actions of a servant, all we need to do is be in relationship with him. You know, God gets our attention by saying, "I am your God, and I freed you. And I love you. And I want you to walk in relationship with me." That is no secret. And if this is a secret that is just kept within these four walls, it's something we need to take out to the people who don't yet know You know, the greatest gift that you've ever been given of Jesus Christ is not a gift for you to keep, because it's a gift to pass on to those who don't yet know. It's a gift that comes with an action. I'm going to give you this gift, but you've got to do something about it. You know, I think it's never happened to me. If it's happened to you, then God bless you. And if it ever happens to me, then may God bless me through it as well. But I think it might be quite unlikely that God might call me 3 times in the middle of the night and that he might entrust me with some special mission. He might do it. He is the God of the impossible and the possible. He has not yet done it, but maybe he will. But most of us are called in some way, shape or form at some time in our life to share the love of God in the most simplest of ways. By putting him first in our lives and letting other people that we know see that we're different to the rest of the world because we've got Jesus. I wonder whether people notice that you're different. My friends notice that I'm different. I can tell you that for nothing. Thank you. I hope they notice that I'm different because I've got the Lord. I wonder, do your friends know that? I wonder whether when you go to work or coffee shop or wherever tomorrow and somebody says, oh, what did you do yesterday? I wonder whether you'll think about what you did between this morning service and this evening service or after and tell them about that bit but forget to tell them about this bit. Because when we're called to speak and to listen and to action. You know, if you're a husband, you are called to serve and to listen. To serve and to listen to the Lord by loving your wife like no other. You know, if you're a wife, you were called and your action is to love your husband like no other. That's an act of service for both parties. If you're parents, you are called to love and to serve your children like no other. Our children, your grandchildren, are called to serve the Lord by obeying you as parents and grandparents. Fathers and mothers are entrusted with the work of caring for their children, teaching them to listen to God. I wonder whether you're with your children and grandchildren, are you teaching them to listen to God? As an employee of wherever we may or may not work or have worked or might work in the future, as an employee, God calls us to do our job as if he himself were our boss. This is what we are called to when we hear our name spoken from God's lips. You know, and if you're not a husband, if you're not a wife, if you're not a child, and all of us are, so you can't get out of that one. If you're not in coffee shop, if you're not going to meet anybody tomorrow, then let me tell you that as part of your role as a Christian, of hearing God calling your name, and then you jumping into action, that might just be giving an encouraging word to somebody. It might just be smiling at somebody on the bus. I'm sure we can all do that even on a bad day. It might be just showing a simple act of friendship to someone. All of those might sound like they're not great or noble tasks. They're never going to get you like an OBE or an MBE. But you know what God will say to you? Well done, good and faithful servant. And I think that is much better than any OBE or MBE or CBE or any other knighthood or any other anything. You know, God hasn't asked me to lead an army. Thank God for that, because we'd all end up in a hell of a mess. And, you know, maybe God, even more so than we're already in, and maybe God hasn't asked you to lead an army, and he hasn't maybe asked you to serve as a judge, and he hasn't asked me to do that. And he hasn't asked me to anoint some king, and maybe he hasn't asked you to anoint some king, but he has asked me to carry out everyday tasks as if I was doing it for him. And he's asked you to do the same. You know, sometimes we sell God short when we think that he's called us to only do the ordinary things for him. But you know, in doing the ordinary, in being a normal person, I'm so working on that, in being an ordinary, normal person, that is when you have opportunities of sharing the gospel. And that is extraordinary. To teach someone of the gift of the Holy Spirit, to teach somebody, to share with somebody what the gift of the Holy Spirit has done in your lives, that you might use that gift in service as you bounce into action for what God has asked you to do. That is extraordinary. Much better than anointing a king or acting as a judge. If anybody's ever been a judge, I'm not being rude. But that is much better. I wonder whether has the Lord been calling you to act as a servant? You know, I had a strop the other day. I'm going to share this with you. I had a real strop the other day in work. My boss had asked me to do like 9,000 things all by coffee. And I was like, that's never going to happen. So I emailed a friend of mine who's a Christian. I was like, ah, rah, 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 rah. He said this. Rah, rah. And my friend wrote back, went, yes, but we are servants. That wasn't the answer I wanted. But it was only that when I came down and thought about it, I thought, do you know what? He's right. I am a servant of God. Not of man, of God. And it is a privilege to say, speak, God, because I am listening. I want to listen with ears of action to make a difference in my corner of the world. And if you're all nodding, which you are, I'm taking that means that is what you're doing as well, not thinking, well, Pastor, that's what you do because you've got Reverend in front of your name. Do you know what? We're all called to do that. When the Lord called Samuel, Samuel listened with ears of action, of ears of a servant. You know, and he was dependent on God. And we need to be dependent on God. We need to have ears of servants who are dependent on him. I want to ask you tonight, is that where your ears are? Because like he did with Samuel, God will use you for service. And if you're sitting there thinking, oh gosh, Pastor, I'm far too old, well, let me tell you, that's rubbish. It is rubbish. Nobody is too old to serve the Lord. Nobody's too old to sit on a bus and smile at somebody and say, do you know what? You're loved. You know, when God asks you to do something, he will also give you the ability to do something. You know, before I was a Christian, I couldn't stand children. I really couldn't. Then I became a youth pastor for 3 years. What's all that about? My family were a bit confused about that because they knew I just could not tolerate children at all. But God gave me the ability, I hope. God gave me the ability to work with children. He called me to something and he gave me the ability to do it. And God will do exactly the same for you. You know, he put a servant heart within Samuel. And he's put a servant heart within you too. You know, Jesus was the greatest servant and we're supposed to be like him. So that means we're supposed to be like everything about him. So if Jesus has a servant heart, so too have you got a servant heart. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. My prayer tonight is that may God make us all like Samuel. May he give us the ears of servants that listen closely and carefully. But may he also then give us the actions of a servant so that every day we say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Don't let me hear you say, listen, Lord. Your servant is speaking. May God bless us this week. And may he give us the strength and the ability to do
all that he has called us to do.